Good evening, brothers and sisters, and friends. We are happy to be here tonight to worship the Almighty God and to study from His Word. And this evening, I want to share a lesson to encourage us as brethren in the body of Christ. Indeed, we are called upon to work in God's ministry, that we become persons who join in the work of the Lord. And while the essence of the lesson will be on edification, which is a central thought, a central work of the church and us as individuals, I want to help us to recognize that when we come as a congregation and we encourage one another towards ministry, that we never disconnect ourselves from what the church work is about. That we recognize that all of us are in the body and that we serve different roles in the body. But at the end of the day, it is the fact that we have joined in Christ towards the building up of one another. All right. And so, when, for example, we highlight in the announcements that there are different ministries, what are we saying? Is it just some, like an organization, and we have some departments and we have managers for the various areas? Not really. It is that there are different things that the church is doing. And it is important that we play a part in each and every function. That even if we cannot be heavily and steeply involved in every single thing, but that each member would find themselves where they have a genuine concern about what is happening in every area of the congregation. So bring it down practically, and you know, let me do this. All right, I'm supposed to can't just do this out of my head. You know, we sort of do it every week. All right, so when we are making the announcements, all right, and we speak about, you know, there are various ministries. All right, and we usually list some of them. All right, and we talk about the benevolence. And we say the benevolence program is something that we should all get involved in. What does this mean for us practically? Well, as the when we say that the work of the Lord involves the benevolence program, we can assist in this in various ways, from doing our little part to bringing little items so that we have a stock. All right, so that when we are going to help others, we can do so. That's one way we can help. Another way is that when we talk and we really speak about benevolence and development fund, all right, then that we help to plenish this, that we give to this so that there is a resource that we can tap into to be of service in those ways. And let me pause here to say that we did get words from the Jamaica School of Preaching in respect to them receiving the funds to help with Brother Sherwood. All right, and they wanted us to express that they were truly appreciative of the funds that we gave at such short notice. But what when we say that we are involved in benevolence, there are various ways that we can help in this. Another way, all right, and just to help us to be alert, is that as efficient as we can be in terms of collecting the things, the extent to which we have talents, remember now, the church relies on the talent of each member. Let us avail ourselves if we have special skills, because to administer things that we collect for benevolence sometimes requires some special know-how. So we have now a responsibility to make sure that we are doing it smartly, guided by God's word. So we don't want situations where, oh, because we have the things collected, we just give it out. You know, it's here, let's just get rid of it. All right? We don't want a situation, we as a congregation should move to a point where, even though the things are here and we have persons going out and visiting, and it is good that when you are going to visit, if the church has some resources, we can tap into it. But you don't want a situation where on Monday, Brother Webb is going to visit Sister A and choose to tap into the resources and give to Sister A on Monday, but then Brother Mary is going to visit on Wednesday and go into the same resource and give to Sister A again. All right? It is important that as a body that we are able to work together to do so efficiently. All right? And so when we talk about, you know, the ministry of benevolence that we are serving in this area, it is an area that can take a whole lot of effort. All right? And sometimes demands some specialized insight. All right? But if we do not avail ourselves, we do not give and contribute of our thoughts and ideas, all right, then what you find is that we do not do so effectively. So we can end up collecting $1 million and we do not utilize it in an effective way. And then guess what? God is going to be displeased with us. You know, a brother shared with me, I didn't listen the whole thing, but it's where if we are able to have sufficient things, then our benevolence can overlap effectively with our evangelistic efforts. So we can tap into areas, go into communities where there are specific needs, and by being benevolent, it opens the door for us to be able to be effective evangelistic persons. Okay, so I just picked out benevolence. But when we speak about visitation, it's the same thing. We can, each of us can get involved in the visitation program. So we should not feel comfortable because we know that there are one or two brothers and sisters who are going out and visiting. All of us should see this as a part of our responsibility. All right? There's a great opportunity in respect to the giving of the communion on Lord's Day. And some have taken on this challenge. But if it is that you can't go, should we take an interest as brothers and sisters all? Yes. And sometimes, if you have one or two persons doing this, it doesn't mean that I can't find a role to play in visitation. It's a wide spectrum. And sometimes we end up burning out a particular person who has such an interest. And that we have visited a person one time doesn't mean that we can't visit the person another time in the same week. But if you are going to ask the same person to do it every time, then it becomes an issue. But the whole area of visitation is another area that, to the extent that we have persons with insight, right, guided by God's word, you know, but have insight into some of the best practices, so that when we go, we don't go and visit the sick and think that we should go and spend 1.5 hours. All right? And the person sick and really want you to go, them glad for your visit, you know, but you go and you spend 1.5 hours. Tired out the person. Person probably just come out of the hospital and need some rest. But one person comes and... So, what's the point? Every area of ministry sometimes needs some type of organization, needs some type of insight. You know, even in the area of the congregation doing personal evangelism, you know, and I was reminding somebody recently of pews. All right, then let me write that. Who are the pews? Well, right now, we have two categories. All right? Right now, we have the pews and we have the pulpit. Right now, as we are existing right now. I'm here in the pulpit now, and we know, and we, I hope I said pulpit right. And you are in the you are in the pews, all right? So I'm here on the podium, all right? Whatever the work of the ministry, we will always have a role for those who occupy the pulpit to teach, to share, but we also have the pews. All right, the pews. And so we had years ago personal evangelism workshop. All right, personal evangelism workshop. And what all of this is that it's a recognition that it is not the pulpit only that is involved in evangelism, but also the pews. Those who, when we come here, we are sitting in the benches. This is not where our work ends. All right? In fact, this is in a sense not our work. In a sense, this is where we are filling up. We are gassing up so that we can go out in the week to do work. All right? And so when we should recognize that each of us have a responsibility towards personal evangelism. All right? And so when we all go out in the work of the ministry, all right, then it's not just the person preaching, but each of us. So this is when we are having collective congregational efforts. But beyond that, deeper than that, is that we all have our own circle. We all have our own world. And so when you go out during this week, there are some persons that you are going to come in contact with that you have been interacting with often that I will never, ever have the opportunity to reach out to. Even if I meet up on them, I might not have the opportunity to ever be able to put in a word about Christianity. They are in your world. And so in terms of your personal evangelistic effort, all right, this congregation that God holds responsible to help to evangelize is going to rest with you. It will not be, God will not be holding Brother Gilbert for what Brother Long is to do in terms of those persons. Step, I was also going to list these things. I know I find myself going deep into it, but can I continue down this road? When we speak about the ministry of the radio program, well, only three persons can be involved in that. You know, the person helping to do the recording, Brother Mitchell, and since Brother Mitchell can't read, he needs a reader. All right. I said, you know, that's my lot and part. Can we spell out some of the things in respect to the radio program? So, outside of the technical person making sure to record and to edit, all right, and to bad up me and Brother Mitchell so that we don't go more than, not 15 minutes, but it's really more like 12 and a half minutes, because you have to do the preambles and you have to give them time to introduce and so forth. Outside of that, how mindful are we that every time the program is aired, it costs approximately $10,000 for that, let's call it 15 minutes. So we have not even ventured to say, can the program be longer? No. All right, let's keep it at the 15 minutes. There is a cost for that 15 minutes, which when we renew the contract, you know, they're always reminding us that it is only this because you have been here with us long. All right? So it might seem high, but what they are saying to us is that we have a very discounted 15 minutes. All right? Okay. So there is an area on the financial report that says radio program. All right? When we're checking off, there's an area we have radio program. Here's an opportunity. You can decide that you're going to sponsor the radio program. You can make a resolve in your mind that, you know, one of the radio programs in each month is going to be sponsored by me. You could say, you know, I can't sponsor a radio program by myself, you know, but I'm going to join up with three persons. And I'm going to make sure that the third radio program in the month is sponsored by us. And then somebody says, but Brother Webb, why you have to go down that line? We're not collecting. And then the church can do all of these things. Not really, you know. From where I'm standing or sit, it dwindling. What we collect, all right, and what we spend, and what is left over is constantly getting less and less. You know, when we hear the government speak, they use some economic terms, you know, your net international reserves. We know that term? Not, probably not, you know, I barely know it. You know, probably Selvin will know it very good. But it's like they're saying, the amount of money that they need to reserve a certain amount of money to make sure that they can import food for like 13 weeks. All right? Our net reserve, don't really look anything like that, you know, but we are people of faith. But boy, you know, really want it to be a stressful situation, you know, a stress the faith. All right? But coming back serious, what the point I'm making here is that, and there may be many factors. We may have persons who have migrated. It may be that many of us have gotten old and we're not earning as much. It could be that a lot of us are very young and we're not working yet. It might be very, you know. But one possible reason is that those of us who are working not giving enough. So there can be many reasons why it is like that. But here it is. When we make the appeal and say these are ministries, these are areas that we can serve the congregation, you don't have to be directly or be a primary person in the carrying out of the radio program. But you can help secondarily in other ways. All right? You know, some of us will do a lot. All right? But the taking of the delivery of the lessons to RGR is something that somebody could say to Brother Fisher, can I help in this area? I'm highlighting this because sometimes we are at fault because we don't allow you to know the details, all right? And persons who are not here after today might still not know the details, all right? But they are not here, all right? That's another part. But the point is, can I take an active interest in this area of the work of the church? You know, this is a characteristic of this congregation that we have chosen to do a radio program. How can I help in that? I want to expand this. All right, because I've seen something that I think is a good thing, Bro Mitchell, that we can utilize. But even when we utilize it, again, we always have to put it in some type of context so that it is managed and controlled. All right? How many of us recognize that when the radio program is aired, we offer to the audience home Bible study? We do. We say to them, if you want us to come into your home to do a Bible study, we will do so. Well, if many persons come in and start asking for that, how will that be facilitated? So that's you supporting the radio program. There's also an invitation for them to get a copy of the lesson. We can have a role to play where that is concerned, all right, in terms of that type of follow-up, all right? And we notice that has anything to do with me? Okay. Right. So we can help with this type of follow-up, all right? Wouldn't it be lovely for us to get to a point, all right, and again, some of us may not recognize this. When we do the radio program, fortunately, we are not up where I'm going, wouldn't it be good if right after the program, we could invite persons to send questions and then they get an immediate response? That would be lovely. Because when they just heard, I mean, mind you, at that hour of the day, they may very well be getting ready and busy to go to work. But in that 15 minutes after, something may have struck them in that 15-minute lesson that they want to ask immediately and probably want to get to a point where we can have a response. It is now for us as members to equip ourselves to be able to give a response and to make ourselves available to be able to give a response. What's the point I'm making? When we speak about the radio program, the ministry of the radio program, there is a whole lot that can evolve into. But again, it can't be one or two persons, and the more we equip, but be alert that there are ways that you can be of help. Get inquisitive. How can I? You might have to build yourself. We might have to groom you, but show the interest. Make yourselves available, and it will be just a marvel of what that can evolve to be. The website. Is that a service that we offer as a congregation? Yes. It helps in various ways. Information, evangelistic, because the plan of salvation is there on the website. When we have the sermon, we load it on, it's there. That's a way that we can reach our world. That's a way we can reach far and wide. Does this mean that it is just the person who is the only thing that we have to do now is to just load the sermon up? There's much more that can be done. There are features on the website that we have not even tapped into. But if we have resources that will make themselves available, then there's much more that we can do. Again, the website, having the sermon, interests attract interest. There is a link at every sermon that you can make a comment. What is the potential impact if when a person goes and see the sermon, that they say, oh, this particular sermon had 5 comments. You know what's the natural inclination? To click to see what were the comments. So we, even as members, can listen back the message and leave a comment. Wow, that was a powerful point made in this lesson. You know, it gave me so much insight as to what I need to do. You know, just something. And then that will now attract others to read it. All right? When that is done, one of the things that will go into that comment a lot is questions. That if a person now goes and asks a question, it's going to be important that in a timely fashion, there is a answer given. If a person goes and listen and take the time to ask a question, 1 month pass, 2 months pass, nobody monitoring it, then we would have been very wanting. All right? Again, what is going to allow us to do this? us as members, availing ourselves so that we can utilize. Because these are all tools out there, but we're not even tapping fully into it. All right. So I'm using this opportunity to sort of alert us beyond what we always say in respect to being involved. And you know what I want to leave here? There's a whole lot of work to do. You know, it's not only in terms of going out, you know, street meetings and doing evangelism, but there are other areas that we can do evangelism. And but what is common is that laborers are few. All right. So we need to just allow ourselves to be available. What one of the things I've learned is that the extent to which we extend ourselves, we'll be surprised how God can utilize us more. All right? Can utilize us more. And you develop skills that you didn't even realize that you had or could mature. You know, I'm thinking of a brother right now who said, well, you know, it's because of what I was doing in the church that allowed me to be able to do this now at work. You know, so sometimes you gain talents or you develop talents and things that you didn't know that you had. All right? The Sunday school, I don't even need to talk about this. All right? The Sunday school, that I'm not a Sunday school teacher does not mean that I cannot be of help to the Sunday school program. All right, Brother Gilbert will let us know that there are many things that we can do to be of service, all right? And again, we emphasize the point that sometimes you have to build up yourself over time. All right, that you have an interest in a particular area does not mean that day one you are going to become a teacher, but you are going to grow, all right, and develop, and God will use you to develop that skill. The last point I want to touch on, and I'm going to concede that I haven't touched my real lesson, all right? The church bulletin. If I understand it where we are right now, that we don't have the church bulletin because we don't have persons who have stepped forward to commit to it. Is the church bulletin an important thing that can help in the church? Yes. So, how can I help? You know, some of us have skills of editing. All right? Because you choose to assist with the church bulletin does not mean that you are going to have to write the articles. You know, can you type up something? You know, can it be that you avail yourself to, at least 2 times for the year, you will help. When we do the church bulletin, you know, and let's say it is, and I'm saying let's say it is that it's going to be physically printed. And there's a cost towards getting it printed. Is it that my role could be, you know, I can't write an article, you know, all right, and I don't even know how to typeset, you know. But you know what? When it is to be printed, I'm going to make sure that 10 copies is my doing. Yeah, as simple as that. You have done, so you are being a part of it. All right? And I don't want to leave the impression that everything is money, but money comes almost everywhere, you know. All right. You said nothing is free. All right. Doesn't matter who's going to pay for it. All right. Okay. So those are some of the ministries that we can get involved in. So what's the lesson again? Oh boy. All right. I think I'm going to wrap up right here. All right. So what the lesson was about, or should have been about, is that of edification. All right. And I still want to leave a thought on it. Let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. No, I can't touch it. I can't. If I touch it, it's going to take too long. So I'm going. But among the things we are going to, when we get another opportunity, we'll come back to the lesson, to the point. Among the things is that when we edify one another, and edifying means to build up, sometimes we have to build a new convert. Sometimes in the building up, the edification, it's about strengthening the backslider. Sometimes in edifying, in building up, is to help the faithful, including the workers, fellow workers, fellow Christians, and the leaders. Have you ever thought about that? That in edifying, you are also to build up the leaders. Edifying one another is not a one-directional thing. Edifying, when I edify, I'm edifying down to build up somebody. When I edify, I am edifying self. And when I am edifying, I'm also edifying those who are up. All right. So from the lesson, that would be it. That it is multi-directional. When we are involved in the work of the church, be mindful that we are in the business of edifying. Edifying others, bringing them into the faith, edifying those who are our peers, our brothers and sisters. We are edifying one another, and we are also helping to build up and edify our leaders. All right, and all of this is in this one these three verses. All right, we will dissect that at another opportunity. All right, I concede that I went off on a tangent, but I believe it was an important tangent for us to consider. All right, we turn over to the song leader this time.